Working with Compassion International has helped Greystone Church reach our mission of knowing God and making God known. The purpose of Compassion is to release children from poverty in the name of Jesus. Compassion accomplishes this through connecting with churches in the U.S. and churches in poverty-stricken communities around the world. 8 years ago, we hosted a Compassion Sunday at Greystone Church, and we gave our members the opportunity to sponsor children living in poverty, and we partnered with a church in Juticalpa, Honduras. Over the last 8 years, we have sponsored over 1,100 children. As you can imagine, we've been able to impact those kids and their families in the name of Jesus. But what we didn't realize is how we would impact our families at Greystone Church. As some of you know, when you go on a mission trip to a foreign country, the trip ends up impacting you as much or more than those in the foreign country. This is what we've experienced with Compassion. Our families are living on mission because they are participating in the Great Commission and seeing lives change for all eternity. If you and your church would like to partner with Compassion International, I highly recommend hosting a Compassion Sunday at your church. To find out more about hosting a Compassion Sunday, go to compassion.com/family goals. Again, you can find out more information at compassion.com/family goals.
Today's scripture brought to you by Tony Financial Services is Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart.
We extend our heartfelt thanks to Tony Financial Services for providing this week's scripture. Tony Financial Services is a trusted wealth management firm that specializes in biblical financial principles and biblically responsible investing. They're proud members of the Kingdom Advisory Network,
which is a huge ordeal.
And they're just great partners because of their commitment to faith-based stewardship. All right. Welcome to another episode of the Family Goals Podcast with David Pollock.
Was that Matthew McConaughey? Is that what that was? Like, everybody's turning the episode off. They're not even listening to this preview, but go.
Hey, what are we talking about?
Delighting desires. Or desiring. You have totally messed this up. We promise the podcast is better.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's from the... Oh, that's funny.
Did someone
make
that for you?
Yeah.
You know what? We'll get into
go,
it.
Go.
We will get into it. Hey, I'm loving the Family Goals shirt.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Did you see the back?
I want to see the back.
Go, read it for the people.
Okay. The sauna does not count as cardio.
This was bestowed to me as a gift from a loyal listener of Family Goals, and I just can't imagine it gets any more spot on than that.
That's a great shirt.
It's a good shirt.
I never said the sauna was cardio. It's simulated cardio.
You're still saying it's cardio.
Hey, by the way, that family, I think they're from Tennessee. They were at Greystone Church a couple of weeks ago, and their son wanted to get his picture with me. And he was so excited to get his picture with Pastor Jay. Made me feel kind of like a celebrity. Like, hey, kids are wanting to take their pictures with me. He said he's an avid listener to the Family Goals podcast.
That's pretty dope.
And so that was... I wonder, super cool.
You didn't tell him any stupid stories, did you? Or he didn't tell you any stories about like some random kid named Brian that just you did something to and 12 years old or anything?
No, it was in between services.
So you only had a little bit of time.
Yeah,
with
and the second service had already started. So I was taking my picture with him, and then I was talking to another friend of mine. This friend of mine comes up to me, and he says, "Thank you for being a sinner." And I'm thinking to myself, okay, I know I'm a sinner. I mean, I confess my sins to everybody, but what did I just say in the sermon
that needed that response?
Like, what did I? And I was
did
thinking,
I cuss?
I was thinking he was talking about me not going on the bird walk with Jennifer because I would rather go to Torrey Pines Golf Club.
I mean,
than
that's
to
not
go.
A sinner. That's absolutely fantastic.
And I said, I'm definitely a sinner. And he goes, no, I didn't say that. He said, thank you for bringing me back to center.
Back to center.
So what he was saying, of course, I'm old. I can't hear. Yeah. You know, his lobby was, you know, a lot of people in the lobby. But he was basically saying your sermons, your messages always bring me back
to center.
Back to center.
Gotcha.
And we were talking that day about a strong faith. I can't remember what the message was. I can't even remember my own sermons.
I mean, I don't remember them either. But they're usually not worth
It's been a
memory.
While. I know you appreciate me being a sinner.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I think when we were deciding,
you want me to confess my sins more?
Yes, but when we were deciding what church we went to, like I think it was a non-negotiable for me and Lindsay. Like, we just got to relate to the pastor, and I don't relate to people that act like they have it all together, because I know they don't. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just hard to stand up there and be like, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that, and this, you don't do this, you don't do that. And I'm like, I just. You're a fallible human being talking to me. And I know that too. And so I think it was one of the things that we enjoyed about you when we went and saw for the first time was the relatability, not seeming like that you're perfect, because we know you're not. And obviously the more we've gotten to know you, the more we've figured that out even more.
Yeah, and most of the years that I've known you, I mean, you're the first one that started calling me Pastor Jay.
I take a lot of pride in that.
And now a lot of people call me Pastor Jay.
You got on your voicemail, by the way.
I do have
it. I called his voicemail, Wes, and it says, "Hey, this is Pastor Jay." And I was like, that's pretty dope. Like, bro, I wonder if Brocephus is going to go try to patent it, like try to get copyrights on it. Pastor Jay.
Well, for the longest time, I just went by Jonathan. And part of my strategy of that was I want everyone to know, hey, I'm just like you. I mean, I'm a regular sinner. We're in this journey together.
Bring you back to center, yeah.
I happen to be the pastor of the church because this is what God's called me to do. But I'm no different than you. Like I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a sinner. I make mistakes. You know, I'm coaching my kids' sports. I might get too into it. I might I'm just like everyone else. Well, can I just confess a boneheaded move I made recently?
That would be fantastic.
And I think Jennifer would probably appreciate this too. But so Jennifer does all the grocery shopping, and I think
she does everything, basically.
She does everything.
Even though you wanted to claim to be the organized one, but she does everything.
Who makes the grocery list?
Yeah. Do you make the grocery list? Yeah.
Well, I might now.
By the way, if you ain't done it yet, you ain't doing it now. Like, I don't believe that.
Well, so the other day, and I don't know where this came from.
Oh boy.
But I just feel like we're throwing away a lot of food. Like we have way too much food in the refrigerator. There's only three of us. It's Jennifer, Jesse, and I. Like so I just feel like we're throwing away a lot of food, and Jennifer's buying too many groceries that we can't eat. And so the other day, I said, hey, I can't remember exactly what I said, but it was something to the effect of, I think we're buying too many groceries. Like, I think we're buying too much food.
I mean, you got a squirrel in your pocket when you say, I think we are buying too much food.
Yeah. Hey,
you're buying too much food and wasting food.
Like, I can't eat all the food that you're buying. And so apparently I didn't say it with the right tone. Apparently I said it with, out of frustration. I said,
okay.
Because I asked Jennifer, because she got mad at me because she's like, well, you can be in charge of buying the groceries.
And your response was?
And I was like, well, if you want me to buy the groceries, then I'll do it.
What a smarmy, smart aleck comment. Like,
so then we sat in silence for a little while as I was eating my roast beef sandwich.
That she bought at the grocery store.
And I said, well, hey, how could I? So then I said, listen.
Oh, geez.
I just want to save a little money, not spend as much money on groceries. So how could I have said that better? You know, so I wanted to learn from my mistake.
Yes.
And she says, well, you said it out of frustration. But I could tell you were like super frustrated about it, and you said it out of frustration. And really, I shouldn't have said it at all. And I learned that later.
Like, I'm okay with saying that, but I think she's right. Like, what context are we coming from? And if it's like, hey, babe, like, I'm not eating all this food. Like, we keep throwing this away because I don't need to eat all this food. Like, it's too much. And I'm already fat. You are. I'm already fat. Like, you're skinnier than you used to be, by the way.
I'm feeling now. I've put on weight. I ate almost half a gallon of ice cream last night for dinner.
What?
Gotta eat all those groceries.
Gotta eat all the groceries. Gotta take care of all the groceries.
It's Jennifer's fault. She gets buying me ice cream.
She listens to this pod and it's her fault again. Like you're gonna be back in silence.
I'm joking. I'm putting all this out there to say Jennifer's the greatest.
Oh, there
we go. She's the most organized. She's the one that keeps the ship running.
She keeps
the ship sailing.
We know that's true.
And I was just being honest with you guys. But it's almost like I was talking to my buddy later that day about it, and we were coming off the men's conference, and he had a deal with his wife too. He was saying, "Hey, we need to like do a better job with what our kids are looking at. You know, we need to be monitoring their TV and monitoring their music and monitoring their." And she was like, "I think we do a pretty good job, you know." And he was like creating like, and what we were both talked about is both of us created arguments or issues that didn't need to be created.
Yeah.
And why did we do that?
I think it's human nature to be critical. I think we have that in us to like naturally critique. And then I think what we don't do is a lot of times is think about like what it's going to mean to them. You know, it's hard to sometimes just look a little bit ahead. I think as you get older, it gets easier. I do think it gets way easier because when I was younger, I think it was impossible to stop my foot from entering my mouth. But I do think it gets better. But I think you learn your spouse and like when to talk about certain things, where to talk about certain things, how to talk about certain things. Like those are all big points. And I think the when is not when you're frustrated. The when is not when y'all are arguing, like to bring up crap, to go to that Rolodex and be like, bang, you remember that sucker? You know, like, I mean, how can you, you know, take the right time to talk about those things? And I think it's when it's not tempers, when it's not heated, and when there is an opportunity. I think it's the same way with your kids. Like, it's the same way with my kids. Like, if I sit my kids down for a lecture, they don't really care. But if an opportunity presents itself to pour something into them, like, take advantage of it. Like, that's the way I look at it. I think it's the same thing for a marriage. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, take advantage of those moments when you're asked questions. I've really learned with Lindsay, too, like, when she's talking and she's telling me about stories and stuff, she didn't ask for my advice. Like, I've got to remind myself of that over and over. And I'm like, all right, yeah, just shut up. Shut up. Don't say anything. Like, cool. Like, how did it go? How'd this go? Blah, blah, blah. Ask questions about it. But like, I'm not giving you what you need. And then she'll be like, what do you think? And I'm like, okay, now she wants to know my opinion. You know, and we've talked about that before, but I do think it's a good reminder. But dude, it's all communication.
Yeah, the conference. So I heard this the other day, scientific proof, but I don't have the data to back up. Again.
Well, where'd you find it? On the internet?
Yeah, on the internet.
Oh, surely it's true.
I think it was a reel on social media.
Oh, God, we're good.
But I agree with it, is kids are more open to talk when you're riding in the car with them. And this is interesting, when you're laying in bed and they come talk to you at night. I thought that was pretty fascinating because they're in control of the conversation. When you're laying in bed and they come, like you're about to go to sleep and they're coming to say goodnight or whatever.
Or you're driving a car, you're not looking at them.
And you're not looking at them.
Because you're looking at the road.
It's not like a pointed, like, yeah, hey, let's have this conversation, you know.
I think that's important because I also think that like bedtime is a good time for Nicholas. Like, it's just a really good time to have conversations. Like, Lindsay has found that, we found that. Like, it's just.
Well, what this doctor, whoever, psychiatrist was saying is when you're laying in bed and they walk up to you, they're in control of the conversation. They can leave when they want. And so they're more apt to talk and ask questions and whatever because they're in control of the situation. And whenever they want to, they can just walk out of the room because you're going to bed. So I've never heard that before, that they're more open to talking to you at night when.
I think it's important to figure out when they're the best, when they're the most responsive. Like when chaos is, like I was really bad when my kids were younger, is I wanted to call something to the carpet right now. Like I see it, like I want to address it and kill it, you know? And then you realize like, okay, you just embarrassed the piss out of them for no reason. And just address it a little bit later. Like I think, you know, you learn those moments and timing for sure.
One of the things I miss with and I did this for all three of our kids, is I drove them to school. And Jesse, our youngest, is now driving, and I realized recently, because I drove her somewhere.
You got the contact. You got to get what's going on in her life more.
Yeah, and so it used to be every morning for 20 minutes, it's just her and I talking in the car.
God, now, she's now, so thankful.
Now she drives to school on her own, and we don't have the conversations like we used to have. So I need to create that type of environment where I can have those conversations, where it's not the weird, awkward, you know.
And you need to be available for those conversations at all times, no matter what. But you also need to make sure that you're always underreacting, not overreacting, and always just staying chill and listen and be in a safe space for them to vent. And that's a hard line too, man. I'll be honest, because like Leah's a lot more of a venter, and she'll say something about somebody, I'm like, golly, that was judgmental as piss. Like, that was in my head. I'm like, all right, well, she's also just getting this off her chest, and she's not worried about how to say it. Like, she's got to be worried about how to say it in front of everybody else. But it's such a fine line of like, please don't talk like
that.
And
just like with your wife, with your daughter, she's just venting. She's not wanting you to solve her problem.
Yeah.
But we always so want to solve the problem. But really, they just want us to listen.
Yeah. Shut up. The more we shut up, the better. Have we started any kind of conversation with your notes?
I was just looking at my notes today. I think that's some good stuff.
Was that anything in your notes though?
No.
Okay, so before we get to your notes,
that was in my notes.
I think we can finish this episode with this. My buddy asked me this question, and you and Wes are going to love this. Where do you spend more time in your life, delighting or desiring? I think that's a great question, and if you need context with it. Like, where are you spending your time and your moments throughout a day? Is it like always for what we want, for the job we want, for the money we want, the income we want, the retirement, the kids being gone, the kids being grown, the kids being at a different age so they can be more successful at different things? Or are you delighting? Like, I'm really excited where my feet are. I'm excited where I'm at. I'm excited where they're at. Like, I'm not wishing things away necessarily. Like, where do you spend the majority of your time? Because I think that's a really good question for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And
is there a right or wrong answer?
I think so. I think both need to be had. But I think, you know, if you're talking about your life and how you enjoy your life, it's hard to enjoy your life if you're not present. Mm-hmm. It's hard to enjoy your life if you're always wishing it away. And you know,
I think I would be guilty of the spending my time desiring something for the future. I'm a futurist, and I live too much in the future, and I'm always thinking about how things can be better, and I'm always striving. But I like this. I like the question, because I need to delight in the incredible life that God has given me. Like when I'm on the golf course, just to use golf as an example, I need to just delight that I am out playing golf and out in nature and with my friends, than so worried about my desire to break par. You know, my desire to have my personal best score. But I'm so geared towards the future and wanting to improve,
goal-driven,
to get better, goal-driven. And it's the same with church. You know, wanting to grow, the future, the new building, the new campus. But like, I need to delight in, I mean, we have a great group of people and a great ministry, and just life changes happening. And we get to show up and worship God together and study the word together. I need to be more I need to learn to more delight more.
Well, and it's kind of hard to be a grateful person and to be a delightful person and to delight in the day and enjoy the day. It's kind of hard to have a bad day. Like, I'd argue it's almost impossible. Like, when we're grateful for what we have, for where our feet are and what we're doing, it's harder to live ahead. Like, I don't live ahead real well. Like, I have goals and I have dreams, but like, I'm very much like squirrel, something shiny. Like, it's the way I'm wired. And so I'm good at that, but I would also argue that sometimes it leads I need to do more desiring, and I need to do more planning and thinking and getting in the future. So there is a fine line, and it's actually Psalm 112. And, you know, verse 1 talks about godly delights, and then verse 10 caps it off with the wicked desires. So go to Psalm 112. So it's actually a good, you know, not all delights are good and not all desires are bad. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of a combination, but for the purpose of your mind and understanding.
You're bringing the word to me today?
Yeah.
I'm liking this.
A little bit, but like, it makes you, it slaps you upside the face. Do I spend more time desiring for better days, or am I delighting in the present and spending time with the Lord and what he commands me to do and what he's given me and entrusted me? So mm-hmm. You can go ahead and read it, Psalm 112.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands.
Boom. Mm-hmm. Delights. You're delighting mm-hmm. in his commands. You're delighting in what he's given you, where you're at. And then read 10.
The wicked will see and be vexed. He will gnash his teeth and waste away. The longings of the wicked will come to nothing.
No, you're always longing for something, yeah. Right? Like, I want that job. I want that house. I want, mm-hmm. you know, this for my kids. And it's just it's just a distraction, right? Like, it's a distraction from us understanding, like, man, we got it pretty good right now. And where we're at is where we need to be great. And how do we pursue God on this level? And I think it can do more harm than good a lot of times if we get too far, if we get over our skis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I was listening to a podcast recently with, I know you're good friends with John Gordon.
Yeah.
And he's been on the podcast, which he was one of our best
guests. He was great. The power went out. Remember, Satan tried to stop him because he was preaching.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yes. We were talking to him.
On our end or his end?
On our end. The power went out, and he had to go. We had to reboot him just to finish the interview. But he was.
And he was like a pro, too. He just jumped right in. So what you were talking about, this whole delighting in gratitude, he was talking about his purpose in life and being this Mr. Positivity. Like, he's like Mr.
Energy Bus.
Energy Bus. But he used to not be positive. He used to be negative. And so I think he called them gratitude walks or thankful walk. Like, he basically spends 10 minutes a day or 30 minutes a day, I can't remember the details, going on these walks and just thanking God for everything great in his life. And it just sets this attitude of gratitude. It sets this positivity tone every single day. Or maybe he writes down, he makes a list of all.
Gratitude list.
I can't remember exactly what it was.
I do that every morning in the hot tub. That's my thing, is like, I'm so thankful for today. And I've started to develop even more systems the more you do it. Like, what prayer time before bed is. You know, what lunch is, what morning is in the prayer tub, and like, where am I going to allocate my prayers for someone or for, but like, I don't think there's any way I'm going to not start my day from now on the rest of my life, like, in prayer for thanking God for exactly where I'm at, for having another birthday today, for having a wife that's successfully fighting cancer, for having a kid that's at camp and choosing to be with Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I mean, I think it's just like the verses say, like, there's life in that. There's happiness in that. There's fulfillment in that. Like, there's not a lot of fulfillment in always chasing, because the problem is with a lot of times when we catch it, we put another one out there to chase, mm-hmm. right? Like, so there's no, if we're never delighting and we're always running, it's an exhausting hamster wheel. And so we've got to remind ourselves, and it's a walk for some people. It's a prayer tub. It's writing it down in a prayer journal, which I think is fantastic. But like, we've got to keep track of the wins.
Yeah, and I think there's a fine line between contentment, which is a characteristic of godliness, and striving for more. You know, not settling. So when you're talking about delight and desire, the verse that came to my mind was Psalm 37:4.
Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart.
Hey, look at you.
That's one of my favorite.
So it's both.
Yeah.
If we're delighting in the Lord, then we will have the desires of our heart. And I think if you're truly delighting in the Lord, your desires will change.
Your desires are not going to be to win the lottery.
Your desires are going to be different than they were before.
I think people look at that and be like, well, okay, that's, you know, I'm God, I love you. And I sure would like to win that Powerball.
You know,
why
you
would you not give that to me? I'm delighting in you. I'm spending time with you. Like, it's more from a standpoint of, like, I think when you delight in the Lord and you chase God and what he wants to fulfill you with, and you're not going to ask for that. I'm not going to ask for the Powerball number, right? Like, I'm not asking for, you know, that kind of success. Like, I'm probably asking for more things that are on the same page with him, and, like, expand my territory, expand my life, like, help me to walk in your favor. Help me to see things that you see. And, like, it's not, but I think that's, like, that's when we start to, I think, get on the same page of what God, like, really seeks for us to chase and to be successful at.
Yeah. I love the direction of this podcast, because I think the person who's just living a quiet, simple, godly life has been way overlooked these days, because the people who are considered successful, the people who are asked to speak at different, you know, events or whatever, is not the humble, quiet life person that no one knows about. It's the person who's...
Now we got the influencers and the celebrities and the...
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think those...
It's going to be interesting when we get to heaven.
It's probably harder to do than ever. You probably blur those lines, you know, more than ever. It's actually heaven. You say heaven, and there's actually a something that I posted a long time ago. Golly, I'm going to go look at it. It was unbelievably fantastic, but I might have to go back like years, but it was basically talking about, it was a lady who was blind, and they talked about, like, when you get to heaven, you know, or she talked about, like, having the ability to see. And, like, if you could go before God right now and one command or one thing would be granted, like, you know, would you want the ability to see? And her response was, like, imagine, like, when I get to heaven and the first thing I see is Jesus's face. Like, that's a gift. That's a blessing. Like, so I thought that was, like, super dope. Like, trying to... What we think we're wishing for her, she's like, I'm good. Like, I've been very successful, and God's brought me to exactly where I'm at because of my quote unquote deficiency or disability. But I would argue that it's also been one of the biggest, you know, things that one of the biggest reasons and the reasons why I've thrived and had a thriving relationship with God and have experienced some of the things that I've experienced in my life.
I do think it's going to be interesting when we get to heaven, because Jesus said the last will be first and the first will be last, which is the opposite of the world's way of doing things.
It's opposite of Ricky Bobby's way too. Do you mean first or last, by God? I mean, but that's 100%. And that's why the Bible, it talks about, like, what we want to be and how we want to live our lives. And we don't want to be in the world, of the world. That's not what we want to chase,
yeah.
Right? Like, and it's hard. It's a hard thing. And I would argue, too, the more we hear it, like, the more we live in this world, the more it continues to blur the line. And we've talked for the last couple of weeks on here about isolation and friends and who you're hanging out with and stuff. Like, the world and the way that everything's set up is for us to kind of get lost in the other stuff and the cars and busyness and chaos. And that's what the world will say is successful. And how do we buck that trend, you know, be transformed with the renewing of our mind, right? Like, how do we change it and not make it live in the world, but not of the world, right? Mm-hmm. Like, be a part of what's going on here, but not let this be the only thing that consumes you, you know, just like you're desiring being the only thing that consumes you.
Yes. Yeah, so I was thinking about the Tony Financial Services. He talks about being good steward of the resources that God has given you.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we've talked about this on the podcast. I don't know if you and I have talked about this before, but when I was early in ministry and we lived in Birmingham, there were this group of men. And we're talking about accountability and doing life together, but they made an agreement. Now what the Bible says and what most Christians believe is you give 10%. You give 10% of your income to the church, and then over and above, you give an offering. You know, like you're helping. But what these guys decided to do, listen to this. Have I talked about this before?
I don't think so.
So these are like well-resourced people, like wealthy.
Extremely wealthy people.
Extremely wealthy people. So what they decided to do is to cap off their standard of living. Instead of increasing their standard of living every time they made more money, they agreed together, like, let's just say $250,000 a year. Like that's my standard of living is we're going to live off of $250,000 a year.
Shouldn't be that hard to do.
And anything we make above that, we're going to give to kingdom endeavors, kingdom ministries.
Kind of dope.
So a standard of living at $250,000, I mean, that's a lot of money. But you have a nice house, nice car, maybe even have a vacation home or whatever. But instead of giving 10%, say, you know, 25,000. Is that right? 25,000?
You can do it, yeah.
They're giving, so they make 2 million a year. Well, now they're giving 101.75 million to Kingdom Services and keeping their standard of living the same.
What if they only make 250,000?
Well, then they're
giving nothing.
Like I said, these are well-resourced people.
Well-resourced people. No, that's cool. That's a
but you know,
unique way to do.
A different way of thinking about it.
Yeah.
So, well, that was a whole podcast just on your question.
Delighting or desiring?
Yeah. And I think there's probably, if we're making application, there's some people that focus too much like me on the future and desires. And there's other people that maybe aren't, I don't know if you could ever delight too much in what God has given you.
Well, I mean, I think that you can squander what you have and opportunities by not doing anything. Like, right? Like, well, you can just sit around and just, this is amazing. And, well, I mean, because I think there's plenty of things that God puts in our lives. Like, I think he puts plenty of desires in our lives that we got to go chase. Mm-hmm. And that requires effort and failure and trust, and that builds resilience and stuff like that. And if you're always delighting and you're not chasing, at some point you're not probably going to be very, very successful. So they do work hand in hand, but you know, where do you spend your time? Are you living in the delighting and visiting, vacationing in the desiring, or you know, what does that look like for your life, and do you need to change it?